Welcome to In the Company of Women on AspiringMormonWomen.org. This is Allison Belknap, and this is In the Company of Women, a bi-monthly podcast hosted by AspiringMormonWomen.org. We bring you the stories of women of faith pursuing education and careers and working to realize their potential in a variety of settings. Today, we have the story of Charlene Hawks. She's the Chief Marketing Officer for StoryRock, the leading provider of core technology for content management, and president of its subsidiary, Remember My Service. Charlene is a wife and the mother of four. She reflects today on hanging on through varied life experiences and challenging choices regarding career, education, and motherhood as she tells her story of living life as an aspiring Mormon woman.
I was born in Paraguay, so that's kind of the first kind of unusual thing about me. But my dad was an executive with Citibank at the time.
Okay.
And I'm fifth of seven. And there's only two of us born in Paraguay. The others were born in Argentina and Ecuador and one in Provo. We're like, you're the odd one.
That's right.
No, she's our favorite. She's anyway, we have a really fun family that just come from a very varied background. I'm the oldest of my parents' second marriage. So my dad had been a widower with three children, and my mom previously divorced, and she had one. And so then the two of them came together, and we're kind of the Brady Bunch.
Oh, yeah.
Blended family. And it's interesting because I had the benefit of growing up not feeling like a blended family because, you know, I was just born into it.
Right.
And every now and then I'll run into somebody who says, I know your half-sister. And I go, I don't have a half-sister. They're all full.
They're all my,
you know, so
great.
It just is weird to hear that, even right. though technically, you know, it's like that. No, they're all my full siblings.
Yeah.
So we moved around a lot. Moved to Salt Lake City my senior year, or right before my senior year, graduated from Skyline. It was kind of a culture shock to come back to the United States and
I'm sure.
see lots of blondes.
I'm
hey,
sure.
wait a minute. They all look like me.
I'm sure.
Went to school at BYU. Miss America was between my sophomore and junior years. So I came back and got back into school my junior year. It was a tough year, actually.
And that was a year you took off from school, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
you're...
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's like its own kind of mission, right?
It is. In fact, that's what my parents called it.
Yeah.
Because I was ready to go on a mission after that. And they said, you need to get back into school. You've already been on a mission. So it was five cities a week, quarter million miles that year.
Wow.
And then my husband and I got married right before our senior year. We graduated, went directly out east, and that's when I started working with ESPN, and he was going to school at Boston University and got his master's.
Oh, very good.
Worked at ESPN full-time for 7 years, and then part-time, freelance actually, more freelance, quarter-time, for the next 9 years after that. But in the first, after working with ESPN, probably 3 years is when my first child came along.
Okay.
And it got harder.
Yeah.
So even though I was on full-time, they were really wonderful to be flexible. But there were about 4 years there that was a tough juggle because I had my oldest and then my second came along. I was very fortunate to have a couple of things. One, my husband, who's a fantastic dad and who never travels. He's
right.
a physical therapist,
right.
so he holds down the fort.
Uh-huh.
Because if he had traveled, then there's
it
no way
been,
to get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my mom. My mom, you know, it was so great to have her nearby, and she was excited to just take over, you know, and be mom for maybe 2 or 3 days. When I was during the football season, I'd be gone for 2 or 3 days. And so that really made the difference, because then I just felt like, oh, they're in great hands. And, you know.
And not having to worry about them.
And, so that's the only reason why I could do it. But then by the time child number three came along, there's no way I could continue on a contract with ESPN. So they just continued to, I just said, tell you what, let's not do a contract. Let's just do freelance. And if something comes up that I can do, then great. So for the next 9 years, anytime I was invited to go on contract for just some event here and there, the Kentucky Derby or the Preakness or something, I would actually look at it as a vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I was full-time mom doing crazy things that full-time stay-at-home moms do, which is the hardest part. And then I'd go, oh, I get to go to work for a week, and that's like my vacation.
Right.
And I'd go there, and I'd have these crazy hours. I'd have to be up on, you know, on the set at 4 a.m. and stuff like that, and they're going, man, you know, that's really hard. And I go, oh, trust me, this is easy compared to mom.
That's right. That's right. Well, so. How many women were sportscasters or working for ESPN at that time? There couldn't have been very many.
No, I was the third female to work at ESPN.
Okay.
And so it was still kind of new territory. And it's just been wonderful to see how it's just exploded. Now it's definitely not a novelty anymore. And there's some really good ones out there.
Yeah, in fact, but you paved the way for them.
Well, and I was in the right place at the right time. Right. You know, they were looking for women who liked sports. Uh-huh. And that was pretty much all you needed. Really? You like sports and you're on TV? Okay, you're on.
So what did it feel like to you going to ESPN? Was it, you'd already been Miss America, but was there any intimidation factor? Or did you feel like, oh yeah, I belong here?
Oh,
so tell me a little bit about
no.
that and how you overcame some of those feelings.
Oh, it was scary. It was really scary. I was only 23, first of all.
Yeah.
So imagine going to a network level, you're 23 years old,
right.
and I had limited experience.
Right.
I had done 3 years worth of television work. And I don't count Miss America. I actually left Miss America off my resume
right.
when I went
right.
back there. I just was really uncomfortable
right.
with that, and
right.
I just didn't want that to influence. So it wasn't until a few months after that they even knew about it, because there was no Google back then.
Back in the day, you could hide things.
Back in the old days. But I remember walking into Sports Center the first time. No women, you know.
Yeah.
It was all guys. I felt like I just walked into a locker room.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really hard to feel very confident, even pretend to be confident, when you really have no clue what you just stepped into.
Yeah.
And I remember my very first interview with the editor, news director for SportsCenter, very talented, very smart guy. And he started asking me questions. I had no clue what the answers were. you know, that had to do with boxing, or that had to do with baseball, or with,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I just went, you know what, sir? I just like being on the field, and I understand football. I, you know, and there were
uh-huh.
a few sports that I felt like I had a good handle on, but
uh-huh.
you start talking, you get into the weeds of all the different sports, and oh, I felt way out of my element. And so I said, I'm going to study. First of all, tell me what you want me to do. And he says, well, we're still trying to figure out exactly where to put you. So again, they really were just looking for
yeah.
women.
Yeah.
And we'll put you somewhere.
Yeah.
But they found a really good slot for me that was a fantastic learning ground. And for 2 years, I was the host of Scholastic Sports America.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to go around and talk to the best high school athletes in the country. It was low profile to a certain extent, even though here we are, a weekly half-hour show on national television, it was still low profile, and I got to really learn more about a huge variety of sports. We were interviewing water skiers, and at the time, I remember interviewing a pool player. She was a national, and I'm going,
uh-huh.
this is for ESPN. Man,
yeah.
Now I probably wouldn't have done that, but everything from football and basketball and skiers,
yeah.
I got to interview future Olympic gold medalists and stuff. So it was a great proving ground, and where I really learned how to produce, and then just moved on from there. But juggling the mom thing,
yeah,
that was hard, and I felt guilty all the time that I would leave.
Yeah.
I just felt guilty. But my husband, being so supportive, you know, he says, listen, you're doing a really important thing for our family, helping us financially as he was getting his practice
right.
off the ground.
Right.
And he says, we can juggle this. And when I was home, I was really home,
yeah,
which was great.
Yeah.
So I'd be home for a whole week, or I'd be home for 5 days, and I was totally home. But then when I was gone, I was really gone. Now with cell phones, it's wonderful because I can
right.
FaceTime the kids, or I can – if. And now, of course, I only have one left at home now. Jacob, you're doing your homework?
That's right.
Let me see you doing your homework.
So tell me about that process of knowing you're this path blazer on ESPN for other women – sort of feeling the pressure of that. You're also,
uh-huh.
you know, an advocate and a spokesperson, whether I think you wanted to be or not, for the LDS Church, you
oh,
know,
wow.
lets people know you're more. And then you've got these children, and I think all of us who've worked relate to that guilt.
Yeah.
And so that
yeah.
decision process of I'm going to pull back on this, and I'm going to raise my family. Tell me
yeah.
a little bit about that.
No, you nailed it. It is, I think, the quintessential challenge for a female.
Yeah.
Especially a female who wants to feel like they're contributing
right.
to society. And in some ways, when your kids are really little, you don't feel like you really
right.
are. And it's not until they've left the home that you realize, ah, that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
And when they're, when I hear back, I mean, oh, it's the most wonderful payoff to hear from people who run into my kids at college or something, oh, at yeah. a job or whatever. Oh, and she's so fantastic. And I just go, yes, I created, or we created, my husband and I created a contributor that's to society right. who's helping instead of, you know, pulling on society. So you don't see that when the kids are really little,
right?
All you do is I'm cleaning up messes. No, it's, and it was a challenge. I'll tell you what, when it really struck me that I wonder if I'm doing the right thing, there were kind of two moments. I had a really, really cool job offer while I was at ESPN with, NBC Sports.
Right.
Which I remember going in there, and you know, I look back in hindsight and I go, I'm so glad that God kind of took over at that meeting, because I don't know if left to my own devices, I would have made that same choice.
Yes.
But I think God just kind of went, I'm going to speak for her. because it was a very easy thing right in that moment to say, I can't take this job.
Uh-huh.
And my agent, I remember him looking at me like, you are the nuttiest person I have just... here you've been handed the golden position, mm-hmm. and you're saying, no, I'm going to just go be with my family. And that kind of set me up for the next 5 years with ESPN. It made it easier at the end of those 5 years at that contract to go, okay, I've got to make a decision, and I can't be committed to anybody else except my family.
Yeah,
I can still take on other projects, but I have to make my number one my family, and everybody around me needs to know that they're number one.
Right.
Having said that, though, whenever I did commit to something, a two-day thing here or a three-day thing here, then my family needed to know, okay, you were part of my process, husband or whatever, to say yes to this two-day commitment, which means right. I need to follow through with that.
Right.
I can't now just say, oh, sorry, I don't feel like it. So they knew that, and they were constantly supportive of that. But they still knew that in the big picture, it was mom number one. And there's been a lot of times when I've just been so ambivalent, but in my current job. So fast forward. So after ESPN, it was mostly at home. So I mm-hmm. went through, there were about 10 years,
mm-hmm.
Primarily at home, but just doing little things here and there. I'd work on a book, during nap time.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. The things we squeeze in during nap time, right?
Precious time.
Exactly. And I told myself nap time was not going to be the time I was going to do laundry and stuff like that.
Good for you.
Because a lot of women do that. Oh, that's when I'm going to do the housework. Yeah. No. That's your you time.
That's right.
That's when I would either work out or I would just do me time.
Yeah.
Work on a project that I want to do, write, read, whatever. I did not do housework. I would do housework with all the kids underfoot.
That's right. They can do it with you, too. Right?
And my kids started doing their own laundry ever since, I think they were 7 or 8.
Yep.
They were doing their own laundry. And for a while, I felt like a bad mom doing that. But there was one thing that happened. My son came home. He was in second grade or something. He came home and he says, Mom, I was over at my friend's house and we were in his room and his mom came in with all these nice folded clothes and she put them in the drawer. And I said, wow, I wish my mom did that. And here I am ready to go, oh no. And then he says, and the mom turned around and said, wait, your mom doesn't do this for you? And he says, no. And then he says, so she turned to my friend and said, from now on, you're doing it.
That's right. That's right.
So, yes. Okay. I'm not a bad
more
mom.
More independence.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
So no, I was trying to create more independence.
Yeah.
And now that my kids are raised, almost all of them, I hear back from them, Mom, thanks so much for helping me to be independent, because you didn't do everything for us. And there were times, and they learned very quickly that they had to be responsible for getting their own papers printed up and their own pages inside the home, because there were times I was gone. I'm sorry, I'm not home to bring it to you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They
and it's not because I don't want to. I'm just physically not there.
That's right.
And so they learned to take care of their own stuff. So now I'm fine with that.
And I think that touches on something that's a difficult decision for a lot of women as they're thinking, will I be there for my children? Will I not be there for my children? I think there's some advantages
uh-huh.
backing away uh-huh. and having your children be more independent.
So, exactly.
I mean, I've had times where I've homeschooled my kids and, uh-huh. you know, then went to law school. But when you back away, they find themselves, you know.
Right.
And they find their own kind of strength, I think.
I think so, too. They know that you're in the background.
Yeah.
They know that if there's an emergency, if there's something, then absolutely mom's there. Mom will figure it. In fact, there's been a couple of times where I've canceled a flight and I go, okay, I will leave tomorrow. Let's take care of this. But right. it's only been like a couple of times.
Right. Right.
And, but they know that if it's that urgent, then we will absolutely take care of it. But if it's something you can step up to the plate for,
absolutely.
Let's let you do it.
Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic.
Let's see, did I answer the question?
Yes, of course. So let's go forward a little bit. You went back to school and got a master's degree.
I did. And the main impetus for that, so my son, my youngest, was just heading into preschool.
Uh-huh.
The main impetus was that I'd always wanted to go back to school. I wasn't sure if it was going to be when he was into kindergarten or something like that. But my husband was diagnosed with a very serious disease
mm-hmm.
that we didn't know if it was going to be in the next year or two. He was going to need a transplant. And
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden, it really hit me. Am I prepared to take over
yeah.
finances and everything?
Yeah.
You know, am I prepared to? And I thought, okay, do I want to go back to television? No. I really don't.
Well, see,
that
and I'm
wasn't
sitting
my
here
original
thinking,
plan.
Hello, you've been on ESPN.
No, I just...
But great.
Television
so you knew
wasn't
that wasn't
really,
what you wanted
no,
to go back
that
to.
Was an accident anyway,
right.
getting
right.
into television.
Right.
That wasn't my original plan. So I thought, okay, listen, I really need to have a master's degree
uh-huh.
in order to have more control over my choices.
Right.
I don't want to just take whatever's out there. I want to be more proactive about what my career is going to be. So that's when I went back, and it took me 4 years to get my master's.
Uh-huh.
I remember being in this orientation up at the University of Utah. I'm with, you know, here's me, grandma, or feeling like grandma with
right.
all these kids.
Right.
And we're asking questions about how... you know, what's the minimum number of years that can you get your master's in a year and a half or whatever? And I raise my hand, what's the maximum?
Yeah. When will you
and
get
everybody's
me out?
Just laughing, you know, and I'm going, and they said, well, no more than, I think they said 4 or 5 years or something.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, my plan is 4 years because
okay.
I'm going to do one class a semester.
Uh-huh.
And even that was hard.
Yeah.
Even that's hard, you know, because I would drop him off at preschool, maybe run to a class or do homework during that time or, oh, the scheduling, my gosh. But at the end of 4 years, how cool was it to be able to have my master's? And it really did make a difference. So
yeah.
I actually started a job. So as soon as my son was in first grade, so all day school, I hit the ground running.
Yeah.
And I knew exactly what I was doing between the time I dropped them off at school and picked them up from school.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, when you have a higher education, you're able to make more choices that have flexibility.
Right.
And that was, flexibility for me was number one.
Right.
Salary was way down on the list, actually.
Right.
So for me, it was flexibility and am I going to do something that I feel is meaningful?
Yeah.
So where I am right now, I hit both of those.
Right, right.
And I remember the first week working here and I knew I was going to be a little bit late. I can't remember if it was getting my kids off to school certain amount of time or whatever, and so I called up my new boss, the CEO, and I was coming in as the chief marketing officer. I call him up and I go, hey, I'm going to be a little bit late, and he goes, seriously, don't call me for stuff. You have your own schedule.
And you were like, yes!
I know, I went, I love you. Oh,
that's
my
great.
Gosh, yeah, he says, you just do your own schedule. It's whatever you need to do. And I just went, oh, I found the best place.
And so, I mean, I think I hear some really good points coming out of that. One is that when you went back to school, it wasn't necessarily easy, but you also didn't do it the way everybody else did it. You found a way for it to work for you
Absolutely.
And for your kids so
yep.
that you could still put that priority of I'm mom first
uh-huh.
and I'm doing these other things, but I keep
oh,
that
yeah.
mom first.
The kids would see me doing homework at soccer games. So
yeah.
I'd be on the sideline doing, you know, reading
Absolutely.
The textbook.
Absolutely.
They would see me doing homework with them.
Absolutely.
I would be up at 2 a.m. doing homework and
yeah.
papers. And no lie, it was not hard. I mean, it was not easy.
Not easy. It's
yeah.
hard.
Yeah.
And then you picked something. I mean, you could have easily gone back to TV, I would think.
I had a couple of
I think you had some connections
offers,
probably,
yeah.
right? But you picked something that you felt like it was going to give you more meaning in what
mm-hmm.
you were doing,
mm-hmm.
Was going to be probably more flexible, and just something you'd enjoy more, even though it required
mm-hmm.
more education. And you had the skills to maybe do something else. You knew if I was
yeah.
going to work full-time and if I was taking over, I wanted something more meaningful, flexible,
yes.
that really fit my own interests.
Absolutely.
So I think that's really
important.
And
you're right. I think people just automatically think that the television is kind of what I had always wanted to be, and it was definitely not something. And actually, performance is not something
yeah.
that I've always loved. You know, it was something that I kind of fell into because
right.
I could,
right.
but it's not something I loved.
Why don't you share with us, you know, if we had all these women just sitting with us and we were having lunch, what do you think your takeaway for them would be? What would be your message of, you know, and thinking, you know, some of these are women who are deciding, do I keep, you know, going for my education? Do I stop and take care of children? I mean, they're in all different stages. There are women who are saying, I need to get back to career. Women who have lost a spouse who are trying to figure out what they're going to do. Yeah. What would be sort of a general thing that you would say?
If they're at all contemplating more education, absolutely do it. And even those who are not, do it.
Do it, right?
Do it, because it opens up not only just having a degree, opening up more choices, the process of going through it is it engages your mind. You're thinking about things you haven't thought about before.
It changes you.
It totally does. And it opens up different paths and things that you just haven't considered. I will speak to some women who say, oh, but school's not my thing. Well, find different kinds of school. There's different kinds of further education.
That's right.
You don't have to have that be your thing. And no, you don't have to go back and do math necessarily.
Right.
If that's not your thing.
Right.
You know? It can be all kinds of different things.
And I think I think there are also a lot of options in formal education that people don't know about. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's only once you start really exploring and being in kind of a master's program or even in finishing a bachelor's program that you start looking around and saying, wow, there are all kinds of things.
There's so much online stuff.
Yeah.
So much online.
Absolutely.
Right now that wasn't there when I was going through school.
Yeah.
You can get degrees online. It's not optimal for me anyway, because I do think the interaction there is fantastic.
But it's an option.
But it's a total option, exactly. And it just opens things up. And you can even audit. Who is it? Harvard or Yale or somebody that's got all these free classes. And
amazing
resources.
And you
can just listen to them or watch them and stuff. You don't even need to take the class.
Mm-hmm.
But I think education, whether formal or personalized or just whatever it is, that totally opens up new choices, new paths. And it helps you find that passion.
The passion.
Mm-hmm. Because, where is your passion? Very few people have actually found their passion.
Yeah.
And it's fun to just, I kind of have a shotgun approach on pretty much life. Throw a lot of stuff out there and see what sticks.
Yeah, yeah.
See what sticks,
I agree.
Because and don't limit yourself to just one little thing. Go ahead and take several online classes. Maybe it's going to happen one at a time and not concurrently, but but just explore until you find something that you're just so passionate about that you're willing to spend whatever time it takes or do
that's
the hard
right.
things
I
in
think,
order to make it happen.
And I think that's the key too. When you talk about passion, once you find what you're passionate about, it's as easy to spend time at work as it is to spend time.
I can hardly wait to get to work.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Sunday evening, I'm like, tomorrow's
Yay!
Monday, we get to get back to work, right? So once you
exactly.
find something you're passionate about, that makes life that much easier.
Yeah.
Something else you mentioned that was key for me, too, in getting my education was support. And you had family support.
Mm-hmm.
My husband was really supportive, as yours was. I had a mother who was supportive.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other areas of support you think that other women could tap into if they don't have a family nearby?
That's gotta be hard. Yeah.
What do you think would be some areas of where would they find similar support?
I think there's so many online things like this podcast.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's so many resources out there to be able to tap into. Having said that, there's a lot to be said for that personal interaction.
Absolutely.
And the mentorship. And so usually, and especially as I was just kind of trying to find my way in terms of, okay, so what job do I want to take? And I had a slight miss on the first job that I took. I took it, and after about a year and a half, I thought, this isn't quite what I'm looking for. And so it took me, and then I kept looking and found this one. And so I remember just meeting a lot of different people and just asking a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And the more that they ask, find other women or maybe it's men or whatever, and just find out how they did it.
Yep.
And you get so many different ideas. And what worked for one person may not work for you. And
right.
so you take you pick and choose.
Pick and choose what's there.
What works for you, absolutely.
And I think sometimes it's just helpful to have someone you talk to who sees your situation from outside of your perspective.
Uh-huh.
So we see, you know, from the seat we're sitting in, but someone can sometimes see outside of that and say, look, this is a possibility.
Yeah.
This is a possibility. And you start saying, oh, are they really? And I think that could be a helpful resource as well, because you may not realize, okay, I could trade babysitting with someone, or I could, you know, some of those types of things that might not be initially on the top of someone's mind.
And there's so many women out there that do want to do trade. I love that concept. Yeah. And some of my mentors actually turned out to be my professors up at the U.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what their passion is in teaching.
Right.
And so when you ask them to teach me one-on-one, they will.
They'll
dive right in and they'll listen and they'll want to. I mean, I had three professors up at the U that gave me fantastic advice.
Yeah.
And they weren't members of the church.
Right.
And it didn't matter. They really understood my challenges. And they said, have you considered this? Have you considered this? Oh, yeah. I have not. You know, let me try. And in fact, two of them I'm still really engaged with. And I graduated 10 years ago. Those mentors.
Those relationships
just
stay.
So important. Yeah.
And I had a great mentor at my law firm, also not a member of the church. And I think you find wonderful people with wonderful experiences. And you don't have to limit yourself to one religion or one area of study or anything else. You can reach out and find mentors across a broad perspective of people.
Oh, yeah. And those in their 70s and 80s, those who have retired and older, you know, there's so many of them out there that they want to spend time sharing their wisdom.
Absolutely.
And I would absolutely pick their brain on that. Yeah. And some of them even want to help with kids.
That's right. That's right.
In fact, I had one. She was an older woman in my ward, and all her kids gone and everything. Yeah. And we did a little bit of a trade. It was kind of for a limited time. I felt really bad because I felt like I was taking advantage of her. And she goes, no, this is something I really love. But I was kind of, my parents had gone for, I think, 3 months or something. Uh-huh. And she absolutely loved being needed like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I made rolls for her and stuff. But, you know, it was never enough because of what she did for me. But she felt needed and I really needed her.
And you really needed her.
Yeah.
And that's something I think is a beautiful thing that women often do for each other. It's great to find somebody who feels that, who feels needed.
Yep.
And when you need their help and they're happy to help, I think it's a beautiful relationship we can build.
Absolutely. And it requires, you know, sometimes reaching out.
Absolutely.
And saying, I need some help in this area.
Well, I'm not a good mind reader myself.
No.
So I will always I'm like, I'm willing to help people out, but I never know.
But
I'm
I don't know what they need.
Do you really need another casserole? I don't know.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So I think reaching out is really key and saying, I need some assistance with this. And then people I find are willing to jump in.
I think so too.
Yeah,
they're looking for ways to help.
I agree.
But you're right. Most of us don't know where to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this has been great. I really appreciate you talking with us.
Well, I hope it's been helpful.
That's good.
Thank you for your question.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Thanks for answering. So I just want to say thanks for joining us. And
absolutely. My pleasure.
Any last parting words you'd give?
You know, sometimes it's about two words. Hold on.
Yeah. Definitely.
We all get into those parts where it's like, it's too overwhelming.
Hold on. Forget about leaning in.
Just hold on.
Right. I agree.
We'll get past this. Yeah.
I agree. Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I'm Allison Belknap, the host of In the Company of Women. Today, we heard from Charlene Hawks in Salt Lake City, Utah. Thanks to Charlene for sharing this time with us. Our editor, Greg Williams, is off this week, so extra thanks to Maren Belknap, serving as composer, musician, music producer, and sound editor this month. Please join us in December for the next episode of In the Company of Women.